This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward, giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in to a Tuesday edition of the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980, where you see super producer Anthony Haney, the host of the show, Craig Hoffman. Hello, it's me. Coming up at 4:30, the only bracket preview you need. No, this is not a silly game version that we did yesterday where we made fun of ourselves. If you heard the beginning of the show yesterday where we described the game we were going to play at 6 o'clock and said, wow, that sounds really entertaining because you guys sound like you're going to do horrible. That's exactly what happened in our game yesterday. I lost the game more than Anthony won it, which is not meant to take away from Anthony's victory. It's meant to emphasize the size of my defeat. So that's in the podcast feed or on YouTube if you want to watch it back, at the Team 980, at Craig Hoffman, or just search the podcast feed, The Hoffman Show. It's the start of Hour 3 yesterday. But an actual real bracket analyst, someone who called college basketball games all year long, our dear friend Kevin Brown. Of course, you also know him as the play-by-play voice of the Baltimore Orioles. He will join us coming up at 4:30, Logan at 5. And then we actually, Anthony, we're done at 6 o'clock today.
Which we are?
I know.
Dang.
How could they take away an hour of our precious show?
I'm saying, man, I feel like some people are excited for, you know, will be excited for a show. So us, on the other hand,
we're devastated because they took away 2 days of us this week already. Thursday and Friday, we have the NCAA tournament, including, by the way, local coverage of the Terps, Maryland Sports Network. You will hear pregame starting at 4 o'clock for the Terps, tipping off at 4:30 on Friday. You already took away 2 days. And you took away an extra hour from us today.
Gracious.
It's just unfair.
I know, man.
It's just what are we going to do?
It's a great question. What are we going to do?
I think you're going to play basketball.
Yeah, today I am.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with my extra hour tonight, but we'll figure that out later. For now, though, we will get you as much sports talking as we can between now and 6 o'clock. Again, Nat spring training coming up, knocking us off an hour early today. Full show tomorrow. We got some fun stuff planned on the Wizards front tomorrow. You're like, really? But yeah, no, really. We have some interesting stuff we're working on for tomorrow's show. So stay tuned for that. But Anthony, you called me for the show and you go, I got something I want to talk about. And I thought this was a great use of our time today. And basically you said, all right, we got Jamar, check. And by check, I mean $40 million check per year.
for him. T. Higgins, his contract also signed, sealed, and delivered for the Cincinnati Bengals. And we know that here locally, Terry McLaurin is due for an extension. So just to fill in the details here, I went ahead and pulled up Terry's contract on Over the Cap. And pulled up the list of wide receiver contracts, kind of where he is right now. So Terry signed an extension in 2022. I believe the year one of that extension was 2023 is how that ultimately wound up working out. 2024 is when the big numbers started to hit. So he had a $15 million base salary last season. I guess 2023 was the first year. They just had a low base. $24 million cap hit, was worth every penny. This year, he will be worth $25 on the cap. He has a $15 million base, plus the signing bonus and the other bonuses and the bonusy bonus and blah, 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 blah. And so as currently constructed, Terry is entering the final year of his contract. He has a void year for salary cap purposes next year, but if you obviously sign him to an extension, that void year can become a real year. There will be some math cap gymnastics that they have to deal with, but that's stuff that they can deal with in the details. And Terry, when he signed that extension, he was one of the highest paid receivers in the league, but there have been quite a few contracts signed since then. Terry signed a 3-year, $69.6 million contract that put him at $23.2 per year. There were $53 million in total guarantees. That was, I believe, the biggest number or the second biggest number ever at that time, certainly for a contract of that length. There was $34 million of that was fully guaranteed, the rest injury guaranteed. So since then, you've had guys like Michael Pittman sign. I believe he signed even that offseason. Debo's contract is bigger. DK Metcalf, obviously, with the Steelers just signed a monster deal. Nico Collins got an extension with the Texans. Devontae Smith with the Eagles. T. Higgins. Actually, this is just the franchise tag number. They haven't updated this on Over the Cap yet. DJ Moore signed his with the Bears. Jalen Waddle reset the wide receiver two market when he signed his extension with the Dolphins. Brandon Ayuk signed a monster deal, biggest total value contract at the time that it was signed, I believe, last year. Second or third biggest behind CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson, but his was had an extra year on it compared to some of the other ones. Tyreek, Amon-Ra St. Brown, A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, and then obviously we'll see what Jamar's deal comes in at. So if you look at kind of that list of receivers, Anthony, a lot of these guys, like Tyreek's the one that I think is the most interesting because he signed his extension in his late 20s. And a lot of these guys, like Justin Jefferson, one, he's better than Terry, because he's better than everybody. It's not Jamar. He and Jamar are the 1A, 1B in the league. And he was only 26 years old. So Terry's not going to get Justin Jefferson money. I also don't think he's going to get CeeDee Lamb money. I don't think he's going to get A.J. Brown money. A.J. Brown money, for whatever it's worth, 3 years, $96 million, 32 per. I think every deal under that is potentially fair game for Terry and his agent to be like, you really don't think I'm better than that guy? Say it with your checkbook. Now, some of the details might get interesting, but the next guy is Amon-Ra St. Brown. And Amon-Ra got 4 years worth of money, or 4 years on the contract, 3 years worth of pretty significant money. It was 4 years, 120. So that's just over $30 million per. His total guarantee is $77 million. His fully guaranteed, by the way, was almost exactly the same that Terry got a couple years prior. So injury guarantees play a big part in that, the total guaranteed versus the fully guaranteed. Tyreek is next. He averaged $30 million on the dot. Ayuk also $30 million on the dot. Realistically, I think that's the number for Terry. If I'm the Commanders, I'm saying, look, we're not going to mess around. We're not going to play games. I'm offering you 3 years, $90 million. That's 30 per. And in looking at some of the guarantees here, what if we give you, I mean, Tyreek got 54 fully guaranteed. What if we go 55, 56 total guarantees, 40 fully guaranteed? So basically what that means is as long as you finish the season healthy, there's a chance that we can move on. But we can't cut you because you get hurt. But that's kind of typically how contracts go, right? Those there's some separation there in terms of fully guaranteed, total guaranteed. Basically, we're not going to let you get screwed for injury, but if your performance way falls off to the point that we are willing to eat the cap money, we're going to keep that flexibility. So the big number that I would care that people would care about there is 3 years, $90 million, 30 average annual value. If I'm Adam Peters and you're Terry's agent and I give you a call and say, hey man, let's make it simple. Nice, easy round numbers. You're going to get a ton of money here. We're going to make you one of the top five highest paid receivers in all of football. How's that sound? Are you good with that if you're Terry McLaurin?
I think Terry, being as selfless as he is, I think he probably would be okay with it. Does he deserve more? Probably. But I think Terry also understands, like, he wants to be a part of a winner, and he's going to do whatever, you know, it takes. But at the same token, he does deserve to be paid. So I think 30 or maybe even 30.5 if, you know, he wants that extra 500K. But, yeah, I think that's at the minimum, the least, what he will be, you know, asking for, kind of thing.
So St. Brown, who we know has a big old chip on his shoulder, he got $30 million. $2,500. So it was clearly a, hey, we're going to give you a little bit more. And I also think, was his deal done after Aiyuk's? I'm trying to remember the sequencing, because his total value is $10,000 more than Brandon Aiyuk. And that feels like Amon-Ra St. Brown went to the Lions and was like, you're paying me more than Brandon Aiyuk. Although I feel like Aiyuk's was done later, because his was done last summer. I don't remember when St. Brown signed his extension.
St. Brown signed his April 24, 2024. So
his was before Aiyuk's was done.
Yeah, before.
So whether that was to get ahead of Tyreek's number, probably, because Tyreek's was signed before that.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you're gonna make me, outside of J.J. Lamb and A.J. Brown, at the time, the next highest paid guy, fine. And if Terry and it, or really more so his agent wants to play that game, I'm not going to quibble over a couple $1,000s. And neither are they. But I do think that to cross I think the bigger thing from like a status from all that is, do you cross the $30 million a year? And I think with the season Terry had last year and everything he means to the team, he deserves to get that. He should get that. And I think ultimately he will get that. And then it's just the details of how much is fully guaranteed. And then it's up to Adam. And we had a great conversation. What was this? I think it was the week before the combine with J.I. Halsell, who basically was like, I don't care about the structure as the agent. The team, that's all I care. Not all I care about. Obviously, your owner cares about the cash he's got to dish out. But like ultimately, as a team, you care about the structure based off the cap. Your owner's giving you the budget. If you're the general manager, it's about the cap. But if you are on the, like, if you are on the, whatchamacallit, the player side, as long as you got the cash situations figured out, you're good. So if you want to drop that base salary low early, and that allows you to do some things, or I actually wonder, like, if I'm the Commanders, I kind of want to front load that contract. They have the cap space now.
Yeah.
Why would you not front load the contract with a high base salary in year one with the understanding that you better tell Terry and his agent, hey man, I don't want to hear any complaints when your base salary is lower in the future. Now that's risky, and maybe that Terry and his agent go no, because that makes you easier to cut in the future. Okay. Unless a lot of that money goes into a signing bonus and then it gets prorated and the whole deal. But the structure becomes really interesting to me, because I think for the Commanders, unlike most teams who want to backload it, that way they can convert some of the guaranteed salary into a bonus with an extension or an extra void year and do some of the cap gymnastics that we've talked about that I don't need to get into for the 800th time in the last week. And it's 1,052 times if you talk about the times that I've tried to explain this to Anthony off the air. But like the more money that's already spent up front, you can't play those games later. But you also don't have to if the cap number is lower. And if you have the cap space now, why wouldn't you just do it now? I guess the counter to that, just to play out the argument, would be keeping flexibility is good. And most teams value that. That's probably ultimately still what I would do. If you could front load this year knowing, like, hey, we're not going to need the cap space in 2025, maybe we need enough to make one big trade just in case something becomes available. But ultimately, like, let's keep the flexibility in 26 and 27. That could be a way to do it. But I think that ultimately these contracts, I don't think it's going to put Terry up in the 35 range. I don't think he's getting JJ money. I don't think he's getting AJ Brown's 32. Maybe that's the high end to be like AJ got this a couple years ago, but I think that Terry getting over 30 a year, maybe they get him 31, feels like the right number. But Anthony, that's not the last question you asked me. What was the other thing you want to talk about? Because I think this is almost equally as fascinating.
The Wizards?
No. The other wide receiver thing.
Oh, the other thing was about, so off of T. Higgins and Jamar Chase getting paid, massive contracts, they deserve all the money in the world. But the fact that the Bengals have now put roughly about 69 million into two players at the receiving position, it's sort of kind of, you know, weird. But at the same token, a lot more teams are sort of kind of investing in those receivers. You got the Eagles who have invested 57 in Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. You got the Dolphins who's invested 58 million in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I think when you look at the Commanders and what we have here, say Deebo Samuel has a crazy year where he goes out, has 1,000 or 1,100 yards on the ground or, you know, scrimmage yards.
Yeah, all-purpose yards, yeah.
All-purpose yards, would we entertain bringing him back off of us already signing, you know, Terry? So roughly we'd probably be looking at, you know, giving those two receivers about $50, $51, $52 million. And I'm not sure if you would be, you know, or the Commanders fan base would be content or okay with, you know, us doing that.
I think it's an interesting question. So we're going to answer it next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Just talking about Terry McLaurin and what kind of extension he might get on the heels of the Jamar Chase extension, the T. Higgins extension, too. The T one is also one to watch, by the way, because depending on where that number comes in, I do wonder if Terry and his agent are like, look, we know T. Higgins is great. We know he's younger, all that kind of stuff, but I'm a number one. He's a number two. I ain't getting paid less than that dude. So does that reset the market in some way? I think that's probably an important point to point out. But then, Anthony, you asked an interesting question. If, let's say, Deebo Samuel goes out and has 300 yards rushing, 700 yards receiving, scores some touchdowns, like, and just has an undeniable impact on the Commanders' offense. It's very, very clear that they made the right decision in trading for him. He can get back to a 2023 Deebo level, and he's a perfect fit here, right? How much is that worth? And then how much is that worth in conjunction with Terry? Like, are you willing to cross that $50 million threshold for two receivers where, especially, let's say Terry winds up getting $32 million and then Deebo wants $20 for two more years, right? Are you okay paying $52 million a year for two guys at the receiver position? And here's my answer. Yep. No question about it. And it's very simple. Jaden Daniels is currently the greatest discount in football. If he's a top five quarterback like he was last year, that's a $60 million player who you're paying less than $20 million until his extension, right? Until the final year, his fifth year option, he's making less than $20 million. Next year, I think he's making eight or so on the cap. So if you have that much extra room, and the most important piece is that guy, is Jaden, why wouldn't you do everything possible to make sure that he's comfortable until you're basically paying him to carry the team? You're not paying him to carry the team yet, so don't make him. Do everything you can to support him and know that when he's reaching the peak of his powers, yeah, you're probably going to take some discount somewhere else and have to hit a couple of things and all that kind of stuff. But I just don't think that they're not in a cap situation, especially also, Anthony, because they don't have any big money players that they have to re-sign. Like, there's no outside. Quan Martin is the next guy who gets extended, I think, for them. Sam Cosmi and Quan Martin are the only two Rivera-era draft picks that are probably going to get even decent money, nevertheless. And, like, safeties cost nothing. So, like, there's no one currently that they're talking about having an extension with. Like, the next guy who's going to get a massive extension for them is probably Jaden Daniels. Unless, like, Marshawn Lattimore reverts to an all-pro level in 2025. So they have the room. And at that point, why not just do things that are good? And I think that's one thing I respect about the Bengals, although they, I think they did it in the dumbest way possible, because they could have made this decision a year ago and saved money, a lot of money. But they're leaning into their strength. Like, we're going to be super strong where our super strength is, and we're going to make sure that our quarterback, who's the best thing we got going for us, can be the best version of himself. And for that reason, yeah, if Debo, and again, this is not a debate about what Debo is going to be. This is saying, if Debo goes out and balls out, would you pay Debo again in 2026? And my answer is, without hesitation, yes.
Yeah, I would agree as well. Just because, again, and we've touched on it throughout the entire offseason, right now we don't have players that, you know, we can invest in, you know, long-term. A lot of the guys we've signed and traded for are on one-year deals. So if Debo, if Marshawn, if some of the guys that we've brought in, you know, go out there and, you know, produce the way we've seen them produce, like, I would be comfortable giving those guys, you know, contract extensions while Jaden Daniels is still, you know, a bargain for us.
For sure. Now, am I saying go get Debo $30 million?
No.
Like, no. But Debo, unless Debo goes out as 2021 Debo, but like, that player was a one-year wonder. Like, 1,400 yards receiving is not going to be on Debo Samuel's plate in 2025, barring something miraculous happening. That would be sick. That's a problem I would love to have. I would love to have, oh my God, 2021 Debo somehow made an appearance. But we're talking about a $20 to $22-23 million player, maybe, which is not nothing. But also, the salary cap is going to continue to rise at these astronomical rates because all this Netflix money and all this other stuff is coming in. And, you know, these big money deals, so to speak, that look like big money now, are going to become bargains in a couple of years. So I think that's probably worth mentioning as well, is like, how the cap rises means that you've got extra space that you weren't necessarily counting on. All right, when we get back here on the Hoffman Show, every single year we try to give you the entire bracket analysis in one spot, 25 minutes, with our good friend Kevin Brown. Can we do it again for the third year in a row? Find out next.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and we stream live on YouTube every single day at the Team 980. Now, yesterday, we played a very silly game with the NCAA tournament brackets because we told you we don't really know anything. At least, I don't know anything. But I did promise you that today, we'd bring on someone who did. And thus, it is my pleasure to welcome back to the show for, I believe, the third consecutive year, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, ESPN college basketball announcer and voice of the Baltimore Orioles, unrelated to the basketball stuff, Kevin Brown is here. Hello, Kevin.
Yay. Hi.
Hi. I think we did this in even more condensed time. I'm going to let you breathe a little bit this year. This is still the only bracket preview that anybody needs to watch or listen to anywhere on the internet, on the radio, and in any kind of media.
That's right.
We're going to cover the whole thing in about 20 minutes here.
This will be the only perfect bracket in the history of the universe until the first game of the tournament when Creighton beats Louisville.
Yeah, which it absolutely is going to happen. The knockout pool that shall not be spoken of beyond just saying the knockout pool that may or may not exist somewhere in the universe will be destroyed instantly.
Crazy.
Yeah, so I'm just going to skip the Syracuse joke, Kevin, and we'll just get right into it in terms of where Syracuse in the bracket. They're not anywhere. We're going to start. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some key matchups, any upset alerts. And then the other thing that I want to do specific to our audience, Kevin, is any major NBA prospects that perhaps could wind up as Washington Wizards next year. So like, we're talking the cream of the crop here because they're going to pick real high. We'll highlight in any region as well. So we start on the Alabama portion of the bracket, top left for those following along at home. What do you like? What's interesting to you in this quartet of the bracket? Not quartet. What am I looking for? Quarter of the bracket. Quartet
yeah,
would
sorry.
Mean there's musical instruments.
I must have the wrong thing. I'm looking at the DePaul side of the bracket. This is for the college basketball crown, right?
No, there was a joke that I skipped about Georgetown playing for that. Because we'll probably carry those games, and I was trying to be a good partner instead of a proud Syracuse alum.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Very
did we even make? And the thing is, also, did Syracuse make any of these tournaments? Are we in the NIT? Did we do anything?
Still waiting. You know, still waiting for the invite. Maybe you.
So I don't think we get to make fun of anyone.
No, I mean, I think, you know, 14 and 19, that could be an NIT team these days. Everybody else has opted out. No is the answer to that.
Yeah. No. All right.
Resounding.
The NCAA basketball tournament, as
oh,
we
I've got
heard
it now.
Here
okay.
on the Team 980. Okay. Kevin, the Auburn section of the bracket, please.
Yes. Let me just give one big picture thought on the bracket,
sure.
Which is I think we are in for the top heaviest March Madness of my lifetime, arguably. Maybe since 2008 when all four one seeds made the Final Four. And here's the reason I say that. So if you're a casual college basketball fan or even a medium college basketball fan, you've probably heard the name Ken Pomeroy. Ken Pomeroy is considered to be the analytics guru of basketball. And I won't bore you with the details, but Ken has this website. He's been charting teams since 1996, 97. And he takes a team's offensive and defensive numbers. It's a very simple thing and adjusts them to the schedule they play. And there is a whole lot more that goes into the formula, but Ken Pom is basically seen as the statistical Bible of college basketball. And here's the reason I bring that up. Every team gets a net rating based on their offense, defense, and strength of schedule. And this year, Auburn, who is the number one seed in the South and the number one overall seed, has a really strong net rating. It's a net rating that would have been number one in the country 7 of the last 9 years.
Wow.
This year, Auburn is the fourth best team in the country with that net rating. Duke, which is the best team in Ken Pomeroy's ratings, has the second best overall rating in the history of his rankings, only behind the Duke team of 1998-99. Houston and Florida, the other two one seeds, historically great. Tennessee's the fifth team in the country. They would have been the best rated team 3 of the last 9 years. So what I'm saying is, the one seeds here are possibly historically good. And for the many problems with college basketball, for NIL, for the portal run amok, for realignment, for gambling scandals that pop up a couple of times a year, the sport actually has an amazing amount of talent, and it's been consolidated at the top. The other thing I'll say big picture is last year, I don't believe any mid-major teams made the Sweet 16. We had the Cinderella thing with NC State. But you know, if you're a great player on a mid-major, low-major level, you're probably going into the portal the next year, and you're going to high major. That's just the reality right now. So I'm going to just couch my bracket picks with that. Auburn's the best team in this region. I think Michigan State's pretty close. Now, to believe in Michigan State, you have to believe in the Big Ten and the NCAA tournament. And the Big Ten hasn't won a championship since Michigan State 25 years ago. But Tom Izzo's good for a Final Four every couple of years. And I think this is the best Michigan State team he's had since 2020, if not before. That team ended the COVID year really hot. I don't like the three seed in this region, Iowa State. They're without one of their best players, Keyshawn Gilbert. So I think Michigan State will cruise through the bottom of the region. And Auburn stubbed its toe a little bit down the stretch. I think Michigan State makes it out of the South. I think it's quite likely a one versus two deal. I think the 5-12 game is ripe for an upset with Michigan and UC San Diego, if you want to go there. I think the 6-11 game is ripe for an upset with whoever wins in San Diego State or UNC over Ole Miss.
Of course, UNC is going to win, and they're going to win that game because there's all the hullabaloo about them making the tournament in the first place. And I think the winner
of that game, that 11 seed, will make it to the Sweet 16, beating Iowa State as well. Wow. But Michigan State, 9-10 deep, genuinely really balanced team, share the ball well, fifth best defensive team in the country. And like, if you're in doubt, just pick a coach who's won in March. And Tom Izzo wins in March all the time. He's won with less. I think this is one of his most talented teams. I think Michigan State wins the South.
Any top 10 NBA prospects in this region?
Oh, I don't really think so. There are lots of good prospects in the other regions. I think this is maybe the one that's lacking in NBA prospects the most as I scout through. Jahni Broom is the second best player in the country. He's a late first rounder. Danny Wolf, who's a transfer from Yale, who's a 7-footer at Michigan, is a really interesting player. Great 3-point shooter, great ball handler. It sounds like maybe a low-level lottery pick. So if you're a Wizards fan, second-round guys here only for you. There's nobody that's going to be in the top five.
Well, until they somehow wind up with five picks in the first round because they're trading their 182 second-rounders and Will Dawkins is doing Will Dawkins.
That's definitely possible. Yeah, if that's the case, just watch all the games. Maybe somebody on Alabama State will surprise you.
Who knows? Kevin Brown with us, of course, calls college basketball games all year long for ESPN. You also might know him as the voice of the Orioles, going through the only bracket preview that you need in all of the land. If we go to the West region, this is where Florida is the top seed, Kevin. What stands out to you about this region where the Maryland Terrapins are the number four seed? And of course, their game you can listen to Friday here on the Team 980, the local broadcast. We have basically all the games because we have the Westwood One coverage. But as the home of the Terps, Kevin, local coverage, and we love local coverage. Local coverage starting at 4 o'clock on Friday instead of this very silly show.
We're all about local coverage here as well. I think you're going to hear three Terps games. I think the Terps are going to make the Sweet 16. I think they will overmatch the winner of the Memphis-Colorado State game. Really easy upset pick is Colorado State. They're actually favored in the game. Memphis is without its second best player. There's one real worry for Maryland, just one that I have, which is this is Kevin Willard's NCAA tournament history. Out round one, out round one, out round two, out round one, out round one, out round two. So he's never made the Sweet 16, and he's a really good coach, and I think this is his best team, but he's never made the Sweet 16. I just think the matchups here, if they get by Grand Canyon, who did win a game of the tournament last year against St. Mary's, but they're quite a bit weaker, they're much better than either Memphis or Colorado State. Love the Crab Five, love Derek Queen, who probably isn't a top five pick, but is maybe going to push 8-10 range.
Yeah.
But Florida, man, Florida is special. And I saw Florida very early in the year, and they were special in November in the SEC-ACC Challenge, and they've gotten even more special. great guard play wins in March. Florida has three great guards in Walter Clayton and Will Richard and Elijah Martin. They all play well together. Elijah Martin was part of the FAU team that made the Final Four 2 years ago. They are loaded with bigs, loaded with big men. You know, how do big teams avoid upsets in the tournament? You got to maintain possessions. And Florida not only has the best offense in the country, they have the eighth best offensive rebounding rate in the country. So when they miss shots, which they don't often, they will get those shots back. Their one sort of weakness, they're about average in creating turnovers and they're about average in committing fouls, but they have so much depth. The foul thing is not a big deal. The turnover thing maybe is a little bit of an issue later on. I don't think they're going to have too much of an issue here. I think Florida takes the West. People love St. John's and rightfully so. You know, the Rick Pitino thing is real. He's maybe the best college basketball coach since John Wooden, Bob Knight, maybe even better than Bob Knight, given the modern game. And St. John's hasn't won an NCAA tournament game since 2000. They're going to win a couple. Texas Tech is a team I love, and I think they're a little undervalued because people are in love with St. John's. They're in love with New York City. They're in love with Rick Pitino. St. John's, great defensive team. They will have really cold nights. And Texas Tech is a team that has tons of shooters, a great point guard in Elijah Hawkins, spaces the floor really well. I think Texas Tech makes the Elite Eight. I think Florida, which has now become the favorite in Vegas, I think Florida gets to the Final Four. Don't see much resistance from UConn. UConn's going to play Florida in the second round when they beat Oklahoma in an 8-9 game. It's a much worse UConn team than the last couple of years. And then for an upset in this region, Drake is 30-3, is the 11 seed. Drake plays at the slowest pace in the country. Oof. How do you win a game as a low seed? Maximize possessions. Take the art of the game. Drake against Missouri. It's a Missouri team that could like win that game, make the Elite Eight. But I think Drake slows them down, suffocates them, and Drake is your double-digit upset here, along with Colorado State in the 12-5. So some double-digit seeds I like. I also like Arkansas, the 10 seed over Kansas. But to me, it's Florida all the way down. And I would just say to people, don't be too tempted by the St. John's thing. They're good. They're really good. But the Big East was way, way down. And Florida is just a much better roster. I think Texas Tech's a better roster, too.
The Calipari self Pitino quadrant down there. That is spicy. It's just going to be fun to watch a couple of the matchups here. Like you said, stylistically, rooting for an upset where you've got like the most aesthetically unpleasing team, and you're like, this is the team that I want. But I guess that's the position we're going to be in with Drake, huh?
I think so. I mean,
continuing like a bad year to be Drake.
My gosh, no kidding. I mean, if they're down 20 in the first half, you'll know that the name is just cursed.
Yeah.
If Drake's down like 10-2, it might be over. Because again, they play that slow. But if they're up 10-2, then they just suffocate the life out of the game.
Sorry.
So I think you'll know within the first.
There's not enough possessions left for you to come back.
I think you'll know in the first 8 minutes of the Drake game how that thing's going to go.
All right, top right of the bracket to the East region, and that is where perhaps the most intriguing team in the entire tournament lives, because that's Duke, and that's Cooper Flagg. But Cooper Flagg is not alone when you look at the NBA mock drafts. You quickly realize that while this team, certainly the best player is Cooper Flagg, because he is a generational talent, there is a lot more talent that John Shire's got.
Cooper Flagg is probably the best college player in my 10 years at ESPN I've seen. He is that good. He is all that. Con Kniple's a lottery pick. I think Kaman Malawach, their 7'2" freshman, is a lottery pick, has a pretty good shooting touch, and is an insanely good offensive rebounder. And then below the lottery, Isaiah Evans, whether it's this year or next, is going to be a deadly 6'6" three-point shooter in the league. Tyrese Proctor is a 6'6 guard who can shoot, who's a great defender. There's a place for Sion James somewhere, who's a transfer from Tulane. I think they have 6 or 7 or 8 pros on this team. I've seen Duke 5 times. I haven't won a game by less than 20. So I'm just less than 22, I should say. I'm just blown away by Duke every time I watch them. The hype is real. People complain about ESPN and national networks and national writers overhyping Duke. And I understand why they complain about that. But they are wrong. This is, again, this is the best team in Ken Pomeroy's ratings since 1999. Not best Duke team, though it is. It's the best team. Wow. They share the ball as well as just about anybody in the tournament. They defend as well as anybody in the tournament. They have the third best two-point defense in the tournament. They're eighth in two-point offense. They're top 33 in three-point shooting and three-point defense. Again, they are not a great team at turning you over, but they're above average. It's the one weakness. They're a great rebounding team. They have Cooper Flagg.
They have Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, they have Cooper Flagg.
Get the hell out the way.
And the only question is, what kind of Cooper Flagg do they have? Because he sprained his ankle last week.
Right.
He's going to be playing. I doubt he plays much in the first game in the 116. Maybe they can get through the first weekend without him. I think the big thing for Duke that's under the radar is Malik Brown, who's a Syracuse transfer. He doesn't score much, but changes the game defensively. He's a small ball five, or he's a four who's not much of a shooter. But Jim Boeheim, who coached Malik Brown at Syracuse and is in the Hall of Fame, told me this year, Malik Brown has the best hands he's ever seen on a player. Changes the game, deflects balls, gets steals, mucks up the defense completely. He redislocated his shoulder last week. I don't think he's going to play. And Duke's a little bit thinner at the four if he doesn't. It's the only place where they're a little bit thinner. But they're just so far and away the best team, it's boring to take them. And if you want to have fun, go with Alabama. Alabama made the Final Four a year ago. Alabama plays at the fastest tempo in the country. Alabama is one of the highest variance teams in the country because they play at a super, super crazy tempo. And they shoot three-pointers. 46% of their shots are threes. So if you want to have fun, say Alabama's going to get hot and hit 18 threes to make the Final Four. If you want to have a different kind of fun, Alabama shoots 22% from three and gets bounced in the second round by St. Mary's. I think both are legitimate possibilities. I think this bracket could get a little weird on the bottom because you've got VCU, which is a really live 11 seed, against BYU. That's a game in Denver. If it's anywhere but Denver, I'm probably picking VCU. But BYU getting to play close to home, understanding the altitude, I think that really matters. And I think BYU gets to the Elite Eight. They're kind of Alabama light. I don't like Wisconsin as the three seed to give you great value there. Maybe I'm burned by the Badgers of tournaments past. They're a little bit deeper offensively, but I think they're going to have a tough matchup with BYU. And I'm picking BYU to win in Denver. I do like St. Mary's, who's the seven seed. They're always good, deliberate tempo. Again, St. Mary's, Alabama would be a fascinating clash of styles, but I'll take Duke over BYU in the Elite Eight. And look, I hope Cooper Flagg is healthy because I want the world to see what he can do. And I want Wizards fans to see what he can do until their hearts are ripped out and they get the fourth pick in the lottery.
Yeah, I'm so terrified of that. We had Haberstroh on the show yesterday. And he reminded me that with where the Spurs currently are tanking basically towards the end of the season, because obviously Wemby's been out with the scary thing that he's got going on. And then De'Aaron Fox is out, that all of a sudden the Spurs are likely to be back in the lottery. And all the Spurs do when they're in the lottery is win the lottery. And if Cooper Flagg and Victor Wembanyama wind up on the same team, I'm going to cry.
Just shut down the league at that point.
But not as much as Charles Barkley would cry.
No,
because if Charles Barkley's
no.
got to go back to San Antonio for the rest of his broadcasting career, that might be it for the Chuckster.
That's it. That might ruin inside the NBA. That'd be bad for our network. Great for our network. Bad for our network. The only other thing I'll say is if you want to check out another non Cooper Flagg player, the 8-9 game, Mississippi State Baylor, VJ Edgecombe for Baylor, elite scorer, super athletic guy. It's Flagg, it's the two Rutgers kids who are not in the tournament, and then VJ Edgecombe on a lot of draft boards. So I would check out that game.
How the hell did Rutgers not make the tournament when they got two top five guys?
Super weird. I think Steve Peichel's one of the best coaches in college basketball. He revitalized Rutgers, which I didn't think was possible. I think he just kind of sold his soul to two freshmen, and it's hard to win and defend with freshmen unless those guys are special like Cooper Flagg. And this is probably the worst defensive team Steve Peichel's had at Rutgers. I bet you next year Rutgers locks in on defense, has a top 20 defense again, gets old guys, and makes the tournament. And this year will be a blip on the radar screen.
I will unpack the defensive stuff of what to do with that information with the two Rutgers guys as prospects at a later date. Last but not least, here with Kevin Brown, ESPN College Basketball play-by-play extraordinaire. We have the Midwest region headed up by Kelvin Sampson's Houston Cougars, which, reminder everybody, they're in the Big 12. Although I guess they've been there for like 3-4 years now, but every time I see Houston in the Big 12, I'm just like...
Only their second.
Only their second? Okay, good. Yeah. That makes me feel a little bit better. Only a little bit. Tennessee down at the bottom, Kentucky down at the bottom, UCLA. So a ton of blue bloods in this one, Kevin. How do you see it going, and who are the key teams and players to watch?
I mean, I picked a 2 seed and 2 1-seeds. I'd love to go off the board here. But again, as I said at the top, this is such a top-heavy year. Houston is 30-4 in the second-best league in the country in the Big 12. And here are their 4 losses. Auburn by 5 on a sort of neutral court game. Alabama in overtime on a neutral court. San Diego State, who's in the tournament, in overtime on a neutral court. Texas Tech by 1 point in overtime. So you can take somebody else. And again, if you want to win your bracket pool, maybe do that. I'm rolling with Houston. They're the second best defensive team in the country. The only better team is St. John's. And the difference with Houston this year, they are 4th in the country in 3-point shooting at 40%. They always grab their misses. Kelvin Sampson's teams are always elite offensive rebounders. Again, that wins in the tournament, because when the nerves hit and when stuff hits the fan, you're going to miss shots. You're an 18, 19, 20, 21, in some cases, 24-year-old kid. You're going to miss some shots. You're going to get nervous. What do you do to survive the games? Get the ball. Houston gets the ball. Florida gets the ball. Duke gets the ball. These are teams that can survive and will survive bad shooting nights. But Houston has more good shooting nights than it ever has under Kelvin Sampson. So I love Houston to win this region. I don't think there's a ton of resistance at the bottom. Tennessee broke through a little bit under Rick Barnes last year, and Rick Barnes has had a checkered March history, but they made the Elite Eight and then lost to the runners-up in Purdue. And I also think Tennessee has more offensive weapons. They have a great point guard in Sakai Ziegler. He's a top 5 point guard in the country, for my money. They have a dynamite scorer in Chaz Lanier, and they have a stable of bigs. So I think Houston and Tennessee are probably on a crash course, and it's another boring Sweet 16 1-2 matchup. The sleeper to make the Final Four is the 5-seed Clemson. Clemson made the Elite Eight a year ago, and they lost a couple of key players but replaced them with a couple of great transfers. Chase Hunter's in his 6th year, was a first-team All-ACC player. Ian Shefflin's in his 4th year, is an elite rebounder. Really, really tough defensive team. Not quite at Houston level, but not far off. And tons of experience. Elite Eight a year ago, they're a much better regular season team than they were last year. They're going to get past McNeese. And I think they're going to get past High Point. I see High Point over Purdue in a 13-4. I go back to Purdue's March history. I know they were in the title game last year, but it's not good a spotty history for Matt Painter. And High Point is 29-5, a top 25 offense. I'm feeling spicy and taking High Point. I'll take Xavier to beat Texas tomorrow and then to beat Illinois in the 6-11 game as well. I don't love Kentucky as a 3-seed. I don't think they are good enough defensively. But if Lamont Butler, who was on the San Diego State team that won it, made the title game 2 years ago, is healthy, they're a little more alive. But I love Houston in this region. I wish Clemson was in the Tennessee side, and I'd be tempted to take Clemson to the Elite Eight. But I can't pick against Houston. I just can't pick against Kelvin Sampson, defense, 3-point shooting, and offensive rebounding. Those are the things that win in the tournament. Coaching, shooting, defense, rebounding, duh. They have all 4, and I think they're as good as anybody in this tournament at all 4 of those categories.
And then just real quick on the NBA prospect side, if Texas can beat Xavier in the 11s matchup game, you have some pretty good guard matchup, Illinois-Texas, according to this article that I've clicked on with Jonathan Gavoni and Jeremy Wu, your colleagues at ESPN, and their top 50 players draft prospect-wise in the NCAA tournament. We'd have the 6th best player versus the 3rd best player on the guard matchup there.
Yeah, Kasparis Iachachonis for Illinois, 6'6 freshman. I haven't seen him in person, but I do like the rhythm of his game, the pace, the shooting. And Trey Johnson, I have seen in person at Texas. To me, he is maybe a 20-point per game scorer in the NBA. Now, not a freakish athlete, but I saw him a couple of times at the Barclays Center earlier this year in Brooklyn. And the guy just looks the part on an NBA floor. He's got a great release. He can get a shot at any time. He's a good bad shot maker. He gets to the foul line a lot. A guy who could carry Texas, and if Texas does beat Xavier, a guy who could carry Texas to a couple of wins. I think Trey Johnson is not on the level of Cooper Flagg or maybe the top couple of prospects. So maybe people would be disappointed if the Wizards pick fifth and they only get him. But I think he's just going to score and score and score and get buckets in the NBA for a decade. I really, really like the guy. And some team will be, I don't know if happy to have him is the right word, just because of where he might go in the draft, right? He might be going to a team like Washington that ends up getting the fifth pick instead of a top two. But he'll be a really good NBA scorer for a long time.
I just imagine now if that happens and then, you know, they take him and now Jordan Poole's like, come on, kid, I'll show you the way.
It pretty much the absolute nightmare scenario.
Hey, if you just want to get buckets in the league, Jordan Poole is a good mentor. Now,
yeah, that's true.
Some other deficiency. I love JP. He's such a great dude. And, you know, I thoroughly enjoy watching him from an entertainment standpoint. I don't know that he has all the greatest NBA things down, but, you know, with again, that's a different segment for a different day. Ladies and gentlemen, you now know everything there is to know about the NCAA tournament. Congratulations, Kevin. We did it again.
We did it again. By the way, I'm taking Florida over Duke in the title game.
I was going to ask that. But now we officially have everything we need to know.
Okay.
And so with that, we bid Kevin adieu. Kevin Brown, everybody, ESPN college basketball play-by-play man. Of course, you can also catch him calling Orioles games all season long on Masson if you are a baseball/O's fan. Kevin, thank you, sir. Thank you kindly. You're the best. Very much appreciate you. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, Logan Paulson and I talking NFL draft evaluation, including a really important tool that we specify how is best used. It'll all make sense next.
Hey, this is DA, and you're listening to The Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.